morning. Very encouraging. As Paul said, that, you know, a lot of times, you all, we get good news and bad news and indifferent news. And listen, it's part of life. This is the world we live in. You know, it's a torn world, but God is still in control, and we're so thankful for that. It's good to have you this morning, especially you visiting with us. Thank you for being here. And the members that are here, and we're so thankful for those that are logged on our online and watching us this morning. They're here with us, you all. So just know we have a packed house, and the house is not limited to this building. Praise Jesus. God's a good God, you all. He really and truly is. As was mentioned, Brother Rendell, pray for Charlie. Keep Charlie in our prayers. And all the others, you all, that's just going through sickness. It's not just COVID, you all. You have cancer and all kind of things going on in our lives. And even mental anguish. And, you know, even this old COVID thing is even creating some mental problems, isn't it? Because I'm just so crazy right now. No, I'm just, you know, let me say this, you all, is that, you know, worship is about, it's for God. It's not for us. We are participators in this great audience that we are praising and giving glory to God, our Lord and Savior. And it's a wonderful thing. And the thing about live stream, you all, as far as we are concerned, is the people out there on live stream don't actually hear you all sing. They hear the song leader, but they don't really hear you all. And if they can hear those melodious voices this morning, amen, behind those masks, amen. Isn't it all right, you all? You all, we have to find joy that God gives us, even in the midst of the things we go through. God is in control. He's good God. He's a good God, and he's working things out. He really is. And that's why we're here this morning, right? Isn't that why we're here? To say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being good to us. You know, keep Brother Terry Chestnut in your prayers. I got a text from Terry this morning, and Terry said, you know, Terry's a big avid hunter and all of those things, fisherman and all of that. And he had a couple of deer stands. And you deer hunters, be careful out there. He had an old one he got up in, and it failed. Terry probably weighs a little bit more than he thinks. Because the deer stand was old, he said, and he fell about 15 feet. He fell about 15 feet, and he said he think he's okay. He's a little sore, but more than anything, he was afraid to tell his mother, Sister Nadine. Amen. You know how mamas are. Boy, I told you. So, Terry, we're praying for you, brother. Get well. And on my end, our end, we have good news. Kiara had a baby girl last night. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She, Lakin Harvey came a couple weeks early, but she was due. She was ready. Healthy baby, healthy mother, and we're just rejoicing about that. So please keep Key in your prayers and Lakin in your prayers that everything be well and they get to go home soon and all of that. Be turning your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading the verses 1 through 5. And let's just start there. John chapter 2. Hope you have your Bibles. If you don't, it'll be on the screen. And guys, listen, we really do appreciate everybody that is participating in the service that can take place live here to bring to you all. We appreciate all our safety workers, thank you all so much. You're doing an awesome job. Benny stopped me halfway down the block. Stop. You're getting too close. And so good job, Benny, and we appreciate that, everybody, and having them ordering PPE stuff, the guys working. You know, everybody's stepping up and doing their part for the Lord. And this is what we have to do, you all, in tough times like this we live in. It will get better. Y'all hear me? It will get better. I promise you. It will get better. God is working. He's doing some stuff. Did I give you time to find the Gospel of John? John chapter 2. If I have, just give me an amen. Praise the Lord. Let's begin reading at the verses 1. The Bible reads, On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now, brethren, I know that if you've been in the church any amount of time that you have read this passage, and you probably heard this passage preached many times, because I know I've preached it many times, not necessarily here, but I've preached it many times in my time, in my ministry. But the Word of God, we have to understand, church, and what I love about the Word of God, and I love growing in Christ, is the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And even if you read or you think you know a passage, amen, that passage, brethren, will jump off the pages of Scripture and get deep down into your soul in order, brethren, that you can go deeper into your relationship with Jesus. How many of y'all want to go deeper into your relationship with Jesus? Amen. I want to go deeper in my relationship with Jesus. Brethren, well, in this scene, what we find is we find the first miracle that Jesus performed, and Mary is at the wedding. And she's somehow, brethren, involved in the wedding situation. And the plans don't work out because they run out of wine, the Bible says. Now, to run out of wine, brethren, was a huge insult to all of the guests. And she says, "Oh no, we have a problem." And brethren, she does what all of us good Christians ought to do. Whenever you have a problem, church, you ought to take it to Jesus. Am I right? And that's what you ought to do, is take it to Jesus. And she's looking at Jesus. Not yet, brother. Don't give me that slide yet. Don't say, I'm going to give you a nod, okay? Because I want you to stay with me, okay? I don't want to jump ahead, because it's important that we walk into this story. We see what Jesus is seeing. We see what Mary is seeing. And we see what Jesus is doing. And so here's Jesus, and she takes it to Jesus, and she's looking at Jesus, and she says to Jesus, "Jesus, it's your time. It's your time. Come on, because you were created to do this. Do something about this, Jesus." And brother, don't you know it is funny, church, how she takes her problem to Jesus? We would do well, brethren, to follow that pattern, because sometimes it feels like, instead of Jesus being a first option, rather he's a last option, right? And it's so much easier, brethren, to go and complain to someone else and put it on Facebook or Twitter. And when it doesn't work out, we just bail and we say things like, "Jesus, you're my last option." And Mary is taking it to Jesus. Church, that is a good pattern to follow. I've learned that in my life as I walk closer to the Lord. So she takes it to Jesus. And listen, brethren, I don't know if she knew that Jesus was going to turn water into wine, because here's what happened somewhere along the journey. Joseph, Mary's husband, has died. Okay? And in the scripture, Jesus goes from being Jesus, the son of the carpenter, of being Jesus, the carpenter. Y'all see it? You see, brethren, Jesus was forced to grow up at an early age. And in that culture, when the father of the house dies, brethren, the oldest son takes over. Jesus was the oldest son. We don't know, brethren, how long he has been living in this pattern. We don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. But it would have been customary for Mary, brethren, to go to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, the water pipe is broken. Can you fix it? Hey, Jesus, we need some new brakes on the car. Can you take care of it?" Jesus, we got a box of wood for the next project. Can you go unload it? Brethren, it would have been the pattern of her life because she is used to taking all of her problems to Jesus and she's dependent upon him. Okay? So, church, it blows my mind that when Jesus looked at her, he's like, woman. Brother, you would be almost offended toward his response to her. And it's funny because she just kind of ignores it, right? Rather than being offended, church, she just tells the servant to do whatever he tells you to do. Because it's really hard, church, to be used by God when you are easily offended. Amen. And Mary takes a posture that's really hard to be offended, church. But we get it in this pattern that we only go to Jesus for the last option. Everything else don't work right. It doesn't go like we think it ought to go, and it is not working well. And it would be well for us to take it to Jesus. And now he ends up, instead of us taking it to Jesus from the very jump, brethren, we're trying to fix it ourselves, right? Yeah, that's what we do. That's what I do. I don't do that as much anymore, but I want to fix it. I can do this. I'm going to try every option in the world. And finally, when it doesn't work out, I say, Jesus, will you please? Let me show you how this works, brother. And the other day, I don't know what I was looking for. And actually, I was in the office. I was in the office the other day, and I put something somewhere. I was looking for it, and I was trying to do something else or go somewhere. And the first thing that hit me was, Donald, you know this sermon you're going to preach Sunday? Huh? Let Jesus be your first option. Ask him. And church, I promise you, I prayed at that time and said, Lord, and I'm just using for example, I forgot what it was, but I'm going to say it was an ink pen. I said, Lord, please help me find that ink pen. And don't you know, time I lifted up my head, you know what I saw? That ink pen. Y'all see it? See, brother, this is what I'm talking about here, is he says, woman. And brethren, what he does is Mary takes that kind of posture that we ought to, but everything else doesn't work, so I might as well take it to Jesus. Isn't that our attitude? Well, everything else didn't work, so I might as well take it to Jesus. And now he ends up being, brethren, my just in case of an emergency break glass Jesus. Mary says, Jesus, I've got nothing else. And what do you have for me, Lord? I've tried everything else. What else, Lord, can I do? And if it's the only time, brethren, that you're calling someone to get something from them, it's not much of a relationship. Watch him. Jesus doesn't, brethren, just want to do something for you or for me. He wants a relationship with us. So when he looks at Mary and he says, woman, brother, it's a little more of a correction and a little less than a rebuke. And he's not correcting her language, church, but what he is saying is, I need to give you a new perspective. Now, brethren, this is Jesus right here. That's what's happening at this moment. As I said to you in the beginning, we've read passages time and time again, and we know those passages, and we get in our mind, but God will take you through some stuff. And those passages that you thought you knew and what they meant means something different to you now. And so here she is. He's taking it to Jesus. He says, woman. And it's kind of startled her, brethren, because up to this point, all she has seen him as was her son. And now what she needs is to start seeing him as her savior. So she comes to Jesus as mother. but she's going to walk away as his follower. See, that's what Jesus is starting to do, brethren. This is the very first public miracle that he does on the landscape of the horizon, brethren. And it's a pivot point in his life. It's now, am I going to show my glory so that you will believe? So, whoa, Mary, the terms of the relationship, church, is about to change because Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. Jesus' hour, brethren, was when he was going to go to the cross and give up his life. That was his hour. And he said, this is not my hour. This is not my time. But he gets up and he does it anyway. Brethren, that's what's so fascinating about this text. Why does Jesus do it anyway? Well, brother, Jesus says, it's not my hour, but it's yours. It's your time, Mary, to start seeing me as something different than the way you've always seen me. It's your time, Mary, to start seeing me as Jehovah Jireh, your provider and your protector. It's your time, Mary, to start seeing me as Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace, Mary. It's your time to start seeing me as Jehovah Nisi, because I am the banner over your life. And it's your time, Mary, to start seeing me as El Roi, because I am the God who sees you. And brethren, Jesus is about to start revealing parts of his character to his mother. But it will happen through relationship. Jesus says, it's not my time, but it's yours. What prompted, brethren, the whole thing was a problem. The problem that Mary had. It was the it, bread. It was the it. What's your it? What's your it, church? Some of y'all are like, well, I've got a long list of its. Amen. I'm married to it. I drive to it. I can't get away from it. It keeps following me. I pay the bills on time, but it keeps showing back up in the mail. I don't know, brethren, what your it is, but I want you to see it because, brethren, and what I want you to do is I want to flip your perspective, church, like Jesus did with Mary, and that is a problem, but it can become, brethren, an opportunity for you to see another perspective of Jesus. Brethren, Jesus solves her problem. He does it, but he doesn't do it for her reasons. He says, I'm doing it to solve your problem, but I'm doing it to give you a new perspective. Now, church, stay with me. Everybody is at the wedding. Now, hundreds of people are there. Church, it's not like a COVID-19 wedding where you have five people there. Am I right? Everybody sees it, but only a couple people see it. Because the scripture says in verses 11 of John chapter 2, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, brethren, the problem was they ran out of wine. But the motive for Jesus doing what he did was not for the people to have wine, but so that the people can see him, Brother Rendell, at a deeper level, Paul. That's what the purpose is. And maybe, brethren, just maybe, that the problem that you are facing right now, you're it, brethren, that you're dealing with right now, is an opportunity for you to upgrade your perspective and see a whole new aspect of Jesus. Because Mary's there. The disciples are there. And Mary had this relationship with Jesus for 30 years. But brethren, don't let familiarity be mistaken as faith, brethren. Because sometimes you can be so close to something and you don't see it anymore. You've got Mary who was been rolling with Jesus for 30 years. And you got the disciples who have been following him just for a few days. And what I would submit to you is that maybe, church, maybe some of you who are brand new Christians had it figured out before some of us who have been walking with Jesus for a long time. Maybe. I want you to put a pause on chapter 2. I want you to jump back to chapter 1. And it's so important, brethren, that we see the genesis of a relationship, because God reveals himself through relationships. And God reveals more of himself to you through the problem that you're facing. Watch it. Go back to chapter 1. Let's look and see the genesis of relationship in chapter 1. What we see happening, church, in chapter 1 and verse 35 are two disciples. Two disciples are entering, because when Jesus is at the wedding, the Bible tells us there are five disciples there. And the first two are Andrew and John. And they're just hanging out, church. They're hanging out, and they see Jesus walking by, and they say, "Let's follow him." Now, brother, they don't even know why. But he said he's the Lamb of God. And Jesus turns and looks at them, and he makes, brethren, the most outlandish statement. He says, "What do you seek?" Because some would tell you, church, that God does not care what you want. But that's not the God that I know, brethren. The God that I know cares deeply about what you want. And he's going to start there at your want and take you into a deeper revelation of him. Jesus says, "What do you seek?" And they said, "We just want to be with you. Where are you staying?" That's in verses 37 through 38. "Where are you staying, Lord? We just want to be with you. Where are you staying?" And so Andrew and John, they're following Jesus. Now, y'all walk with me in this. They're following Jesus. And then the next day, Andrew goes and get his brother, Peter. He said, "Peter, you got to come check this out." So now there are three disciples who are following Jesus. Peter and Andrew, brethren, are from the city of Galilee, the city in Galilee, rather. And they know, and they now, church, they convince Jesus to go to Galilee, where they get this other guy named Philip. Why? Because God reveals himself through relationships. Now, brethren, what you see here is a pattern of the early disciples, and that is spread infectiously through relationships. God gave you, brethren, that relationship because his glory wants to come through you. That's why we have relationships. Somebody needs to come into a relationship with Jesus, and God is going to use you, brethren, and God is going to use that relationship to bring them into a closer relationship with him. So Philip goes, and he gets his brother, Nathanael. And I want you to zoom on Nathanael for just a second, brethren. Because this is the genesis of a relationship. In John chapter 1 and the verses 45 through 46, watch what the Bible says. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law, also the prophets, wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Now, brethren, see, Nathanael, brethren, had a box of what the Messiah would look like, and God was about to blow that box up. And Philip said to him, Come and see. Brethren, don't you know that's the greatest invitation you can give somebody? It's just come and see. Here's the crazy thing about this story is the Bible says Jesus saw Nathanael coming, brethren, toward him. And he said in verse 47, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Is that in your Bibles? Huh? Is that in your Bibles? Really, Jesus? Here is an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Are you serious, Jesus? He is a human. He's got a lot of deceit, Lord. He's just like you and me, brethren. But it's interesting, brethren, what Jesus calls him. Nathanael says, How do you know me? Jesus answered Nathanael, brethren, and said, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. That's important. El-Roi. Watch this. In verse 49, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said to him in verses number 50. Watch him. He says, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe you will see greater things than these? Brethren, this is a fascinating story. Jesus says, Before you came, I saw you. See, why did Jesus say that? What he said, brethren, because Jesus sees the fullness of you. Come on. He sees all of your good. He sees all of your bad. He sees all of your indifference. He sees all of who you are. Jesus sees all of you, brethren. So when he says, I saw you underneath the fig tree, brethren, it makes me think about the fig leaf. Because in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. They had complete intimacy, brethren, in this amazing relationship. There was no barriers. There was no boundaries, church. Nothing separated them and God. It was a perfect relationship. That's in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. They were naked, brethren, and they felt no shame. It's not a verse, brethren, about nudity. It's a verse about intimacy. 7 verses later, brethren, they're eating the forbidden fruit and their eyes are open. And sin, brethren, is injected into the human DNA and it's echoed, brethren, throughout the generations since that moment. So when it says that he sees him sitting underneath the fig tree, he says, Nathanael, I saw you sitting underneath all that shame. I saw you, Nathanael, sitting underneath all those decisions you ever made. I saw you, Nathanael, messed up and going through a lot of stuff. I saw you, Nathanael. I know all about you, Nathanael. I know everything you ever did. And he says, and I still called you. Amen. I still chose you. You're mine. Come to me. It's amazing, brethren, what Jesus says to him. He knows that he's been living under the shadow of shame. And some of you don't want to come to Jesus, brethren, because you don't feel worthy to come into his presence. Right? I've heard that from Christians. I just don't feel worthy. You aren't. None of us are, brethren. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about going deeper in Jesus. And I'm telling you, brethren, that's the very reason Jesus died, brethren, is to take that shame from you, and he sees you in full, but he loves you fully. Y'all get that? He loves you fully. He knows you are silly. He knows you make stupid mistakes. He knows it. Brother, think about on our lives growing up. Brother, think about it. Think about where the Lord has brought us from, brought you from, brought me from. Brother, anybody in here not made some stupid mistakes? Anybody here in here still making stupid mistakes? You know what? Jesus still loves you. Right? What's amazing to me, brethren, is what he says to Nathanael. He knows he's been sitting underneath the shame, and he looks at him and he says, here's a true Israelite and whom is no deceit. Watch this. Jesus, brethren, does not identify Nathanael by his lowest moments, brethren, but he identified him by his highest potential. We're going somewhere with this. You're going to see it in a minute. Because you got to see Jesus. He wants us to go deeper. And see, brother, and that's the same thing that God is doing to you and doing to me, brethren. He's calling you into a relationship with him. And of course, Nathanael, church, we know it's going to follow him. And he invites him into a relationship in order for him to see who Jesus is. So he says in verses 50, as we just read, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe you will see greater things than these? Now, brethren, when you hear the word greater, I don't want you to think more house footage. I don't want you to think a nicer car or a bigger paycheck. I want you to think deeper. I want you to think deeper, brethren, because what Jesus is saying is follow me into a relationship and it's going to go deeper. You're going to see new shades of me, of who I've always been. And what you see, brethren, introduced into the text is a concept called progressive revelation. Now, brethren, progressive revelation is simply a fancy way of saying in Christian terms, you were saved, amen, meaning you had a moment, brethren, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and put him on in baptism. You were saved, amen. You will be saved, brethren, meaning one day you will see him face to face and you'll be able to be like him, brethren. But in between, church, you're being saved and you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? The way God, brethren, gives you a new revelation is through the situation, whether it is a struggle or celebration. Y'all follow me? This is how God reveals himself to you. It's all designed, brethren, in order for you to see it. It is not the problem being solved, brethren. It is the person of Jesus in the problem with you. See, brethren, that's what he wants you to see. But what I realize about relationships is relationship is progressive revelation. When you first come to Jesus, brethren, you get the fullness of Christ, but you don't understand it fully, right? Because, brethren, that's progressive revelation. You grow, church, into his character over time. Am I right about it? And God reveals himself to you. How does he do it, preacher? Now, y'all, connect to this, this is going to bless your life. It's going to give you some peace even in the midst of what we're going through. How does he reveal himself to us? Through trials and tribulations. Y'all see it? Belief in Jesus, church, is not a one-time event. It is an everyday occurrence, brethren. It is growing in your belief. So when you jump back into the text that we're studying this morning and want you to understand, brethren, you've got somebody who has been in a relationship for 30 years and someone who has been in a relationship for 3 days, and for all of them, Jesus wants to reveal himself to them. Okay, that's the introduction. Y'all see it? See, brother, y'all see what we do, brother? You got to understand why God tells us what he tells us. That's the introduction. Now let's look at John 2, verses 6 through 11. The Bible says, you see the introduction, right? You see why Jesus was happening there and why he's getting ready to do this miracle. You see it? It's kind of like a song. It has melody in it. It has a crescendo. Y'all know what a crescendo is? Huh? Yeah. Paul, you got to teach us about crescendos when you're leading us in song. Crescendo. That means you come from here and you go here. It's like, okay, something like that. But anyway, you get my point, brethren. So you got to see this. This is what's happening. And now the Bible says in verse 6, what's the first word? Huh? Now. Y'all see it? All this was taking place. Jesus was going through this, showing him something. And now the Bible says there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. But let me just pause there. When you give it to Jesus, you don't have to worry about anything getting left out. The water pots were filled to the brim. Ain't no more room to put nothing else in. That's what God does in our lives, brethren. Have some peace. He's working. And the Bible says this. Watch it. He says, fill it up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, (parenthetic clause in here that's not really in there. It's in here for our better understanding. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. This, verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The miracle, brethren, that Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first miracle to reveal his glory. And his disciples, brethren, believed in him. So the initiation of this miracle began with the mother just having a problem. And I want to tell you that your problem matters to God. Come on, church. And he sees it. And he's drawn to it, brethren. But he's going to do something with it. It may not look what you thought it would be, but the opportunity exists, brethren, for you to see him in it. But some of the miracles you don't see, brethren, until you look back on it. All of us in here are miracles. Right? Remember where you come from? Anybody remember when you were dead in your sins and trespasses? Huh? No, do you remember? I know you look good now, but you ain't always look good. You ain't always did things right. I know I haven't, brother. I know only by the grace of God. I am so thankful, but God used my problems, brethren, to bring me to a deeper relationship with Him, church. Watch this, because this thing, there's an Old Testament sacrificial system where people had to go to earn the right to be clean before God, brethren, by following these rules and doing these rituals. That means, I'm talking about progressive revelation. Let me bring it closer to home. It's so much easier, brethren, to be a parent with rules rather than a father in a relationship. Somebody gonna get that in the parking lot. Got it, Rendell? So much easier, brethren, to be a parent with rules and regulations because you do what I tell you to do and not you do what I tell you to do and not what I do, right? No, it's about relationship, church. See, it's so much easier because I can live, brethren, in rules that stay the same for generations and never change. But that's not a relationship. A relationship is living, church, in a way to see the other person and adjusting with them over time. Watch this. How many of y'all in here have been married over 35 years? Praise the Lord. Several of you. So you all can be my witness. When you first got married, you probably thought the marriage was going to be just like you first got married for the entire marriage, didn't you? Amen? 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 You're in love, yeah. Got this little hot thing with you called your wife, this is great, and year five go by. It's pretty good. Year 10 go by. It's all right. Year 35 go by. Now, everybody's different, brother. You may start at year 10, but I'm just talking about year 35 go by, brethren, and you say, well, when we first got married, who newsflash right here, we all changed. Am I right? And we have to make adjustments, brethren, in our marriage as time goes along. Why? Because it's progressive revelation. You've heard couples say, when we were dating, and this was the young people, hear this, hear me out. When we were dating, you used to hold my hand and we were so lovey-dovey and now you don't even do that no more, and that's year five. And by the time you get to year 35, you are running from home. Y'all ain't seeing it. See, brother, because your wife has changed. Your wife is not the same anymore. She's changed. She's different. You got to make some adjustments to that, brethren. They get older and things change. Their thinking's not the same. Their looks aren't the same. You know, I'm really trying to get on somebody's street this morning. Let me talk to the wives. Wives, your husbands change over time, right? Amen. We change. Brethren, I look at myself sometimes and I'm like, wow, wow. Wow, I just keep on getting better and better, and wow. But watch this. But Cheryl doesn't see it. Not that, Rendell. Y'all see what I'm saying? Brother, why? Because I've changed. And she's got to make some adjustments to the change. Y'all see what I'm talking about? It's progressive revelation. Shell, I'm learning out some things about Shell that she does that I didn't know she did 38 years ago. Y'all, am I the only one? Right. It's progressive revelation, brethren. I'm just trying to get you to see progressive revelation. So here's what happens. Jesus is going to kick over this Old Testament sacrificial system, and from the ceremonial washing jars, brethren, he's going to bring forth this new sacrifice that will be made, be a new atonement for forgiveness of sin. They wouldn't see that, church, until later. But everybody at the wedding sees it, but only a couple of people see it. Right? Brethren, I think there are three groups of people sitting at this wedding. And as I walk through these three layers of people, what I want you to understand, this is taking it deeper. It's taking it deeper, brethren. Because see, when God told Nathanael, you will see even greater things than these, he will now walk with Jesus for 3 years, and he will see miracle after miracle after miracle. And the miracle, brethren, wasn't defeating the 5,000. It was seeing Jesus in the middle of it. Right? Not everybody saw that, because some people only wanted to eat the food and fill their bellies, brethren. And the next day, they were hungry again. I've got to decide, brethren, and you've got to decide, where do we want to be? Where do we want to be, brethren? Amen. Do I want to be hungry tomorrow, or do I want to be with Jesus today? Church, I think it's at this wedding is a level of enjoyment. That's the enjoy, Brad. Show them enjoy. Show them enjoy, Brad. Y'all know you're in the sermon. I know, brother. That's okay. You're with me. Thank you, Brad. Thank you. You're with me. That's all right. Stay in the sermon. I just tell you when to hit it. You're good, brother. So the first level, brother, the first layer of people is the level of people who enjoy. Amen? See, brother, because Jesus brings out the choice wine. Remember? He brings out the choice wine. This isn't, brethren, a pro or con against alcohol. They say that Jesus brought it and it was good stuff. Let me tell y'all something. When Jesus brings you something, it's going to be good stuff. Am I right about it? And anytime Jesus brings you something, it will be good. It may not look good, may not feel good, but it'll work to your good. Watch out, preacher. Amen. And everybody at the wedding, brethren, enjoyed it. And many people woke up the next day with a little buzz the next day. Amen. But they went back to life as normal. And the miracle is happening at this moment. But some people, brethren, are only caught up with the wine. Maybe we would do well with what is it. Do I just want Jesus to solve it? Do I just want to enjoy it? What I want to tell you is Jesus always starts with what you want, brethren, to get you to see what you need. To get you to see what you need. Jesus always, church, have something deeper for you, and your want, brethren, is the starting place. Now, church, watch this. I think there's a second layer, because verse 9 says this in John chapter 2. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. The second layer, brethren, of people that are there are the people who know. It's knowledge. That's the second level. It's to know something, church. So you've got everybody enjoying the wine, and some people are knowing where it came from. Sometimes the thing that keeps people from Jesus, brethren, is the knowledge that they have. Don't force what you don't believe, brethren, about God by what you don't understand. Amen. Some of us, church, have a lot of knowledge, but don't believe. So the third level is believe. You got knowledge. You know Jesus, but you don't believe. You don't trust him. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about going deeper. Deeper in your relationship with Jesus. That's what he spoke of, brethren, in verse 11, that God's glory would be revealed and that you would believe it. It's fascinating to me, church, that we will be included in a sentence with God's glory. To think that God glories, listen to me, brethren, to think that God glories in my belief. I have to believe that, brethren, at this point in the miracle that Mary forgot about her original problem because she sees the person of Jesus. She has gotten an upgrade revelation, brethren, of who Jesus is. He has gone from son to savior. She's gone from just I am his mama to I am his follower. Church, there's a difference between knowledge and belief. Do you believe Jesus? Or do you just know about him? Now, brother, I'm not talking about, because this is where some of our young people get confused and they don't have no clarity today. Church, I'm not talking about a list of rules that you follow in order to be in his favor. I'm talking about a persistent, ongoing relationship, brethren, that calls you into a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, come up out of the shallow of the pool, and I'm a deep well, and you'll never get to the bottom of it. Jesus, church, is inviting us into a deep relationship with him, and we got to push past, brethren, the knowledge and get into the land of belief, and some of these things is only revealed by the Holy Spirit. Y'all see it? What John does is John records six of the miracles that Jesus does in the book of John. It is a book of belief, brethren. It's a book of misunderstanding. It's a book of miracles. And what you start to see is the whole crowd enjoyed the wine. The whole crowd enjoyed the bread, brethren. Some people knew, but a few believed. Church, belief is not a one-time event. It's not a one-time event, brethren. It is a relationship. Amen. That's why Jesus did these miracles, brethren. But isn't it funny, church? Jesus did the miracles so that the disciples would believe. But did you know that when John wrote this, brethren, he was thinking of you? He was thinking of me? Jesus did the miracles, brethren, for the disciples, but John wrote this book for you and me. Don't believe it? Watch what the Bible says. Go to John chapter 20 real quickly. I'm landing. John chapter 20. And look at the verses 30 and 31. And church, write these things down. It's good for you to know. This is how you're going to know this. Watch it. He says in verse 30 and 31, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name, brethren. I know, church, you're staring at some big it's in your life. And it's some big problems. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, brethren, I want to meet you in your it. Huh? But I want to show you me in it. I want to meet you in your it, but I want to show you me in it. Come on. Huh? See, brethren, at the end of the book of John,
Jesus is saying, my hour has now come. While they're at the cross, his disciples has dispersed, brethren. But everyone did not leave. Who was at the cross? Well, Mary, his mother, was at the cross. John, the guy who wrote this gospel book, was at the cross, and a few other women. If you look at John chapter 19 and the verses 26 and 27, listen what the Bible says. Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. On the cross, brethren, Jesus sees you. See, brethren, and this is going to help some of you all. It's going to help all of us at some point in time in our life. He sees your pain. Jesus sees your pain, brother. Jesus sees your anguish. Jesus sees your suffering. Jesus sees your heartache. Jesus sees you, church, and he cares deeply about your sleepless nights, church. And even on the cross, brethren, Jesus is revealing his character to his mother, because one of the names of God is El Roi. What do we say it meant, brethren? It means the God who sees and cares for me. Even in this hour, he says, I see you because my time is your time. Amen. My hour is your hour. The reason that I came, Jesus says, is for you. On the cross, Jesus says, woman, behold your son. And then he said to John, behold your mother. Jesus, church, as I close this, if you don't get nothing, get this. Walk in it. Marinate in it. Put it in your backpack. Put it in your, my mom and them used to say, put it in your pipe and smoke it. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? You know that, Gina? Put it in your pipe and smoke. Brother, if you don't get that nothing, get this. Jesus is using your problem, brother, to show you his purpose. He came to die for a sinner like you and I. That's his purpose. And to him be the glory. That was the reason for that first miracle. It wasn't about the wine. It was about the relationship. I asked you in the beginning, do you want to have a deeper relationship with Jesus? And I think all of you affirm that you did. Well, if you do, put your seatbelt on. Because on the way you can go deeper in Jesus, brethren, you're going to have some pain. You're going to have some trials, some tribulations, some good days, bad days, and indifferent days. Because, brethren, when you are on your knees crying out to the Father, that's when he can do something with you. But as long as you're on your mountaintop, as long as everything is going right with you, brethren, your relationship, because, see, this is what happens with this, as you start thinking it's you, and it ain't you, and God wants you to see as him, but he'll give you some room so you can get rid of that pride. And if you don't get rid of that pride, God says, okay, you didn't get it. Didn't pass that test. Let me give you another one. Y'all see it? Why, preacher? Because he wants us to go deeper into our relationship with him. I'm glad you're here this morning. But do you want to go deeper? Do you want to go deeper than just showing up and doing all those religious things we do? Or do you want to say, Jesus, I messed up. I need you, Lord. I want to go deeper, Lord. And let me tell y'all something. When you pray that and you ask that, brethren, see, you got to be sincere because God knows your motive. See, you can't just say that so that you can hope Jesus feel good about it. You got to say that because you believe it and you want to go deeper. Because when you go deeper
as this relationship with Jesus, all the hatred, all the hurt, all the pain, all the ignorance that's going on in the world will not distract us. But it'll draw us closer to Jesus. Fill the water pots. Anybody got any water pots you need filled this morning? Anybody have any it's in your life? Some of you are going to leave this building and go to it. Some of you are going to wake up tomorrow and face it. But you need to realize that you can face your it in a right relationship with Jesus, who wants to be in the middle of your it. Is that all right? Is that all right? I want you all, brethren, I'm trying my best to feed the flock so you can have some peace in the midst of this crazy it that we're in. And it's all of our it. And how we deal with that it depends on our relationship, the degree of relationship that we have with Jesus. This morning, if you're here, you don't have that relationship, you're outside of Christ, you'll never have the peace that passes all understanding. That only belongs to God's children. How do I get it, preacher? You got to come to him by faith. You got to be that third layer of people, brethren, who is at the wedding. You got to be a people of belief. Belief, brethren. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've got to believe it in order for it to come to fruition. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You believe it. You believe Jesus is the Son of God. You repent of your sins, brother. And that's where many of us get off track is, yeah, in that initial event, come to the Lord, we love Jesus, we repent of our sins, we're baptized, we're raised up and walking news of life, but yet we go back to our sins. And God knows that. It's called sanctification. It's called progressive revelation. The more you get closer to Jesus, I used to, brethren, be a kind of person that would something jump off. I'm ready to jump off with it, Paul. I'm not like that anymore, brethren. Because I've gone into some progressive revelation of who Jesus is trying to shape me into being. Right? I've learned that, brother. And for all you people that are married, you better learn that. Because before, when Shelly and I used to have some intense fellowships, I used to just tell her what I wanted to hear and know. And she used to try to give me feedback and talk back, but I'm already talking over Gina. I'm already talking over. I already know what she's thinking. You know what I'm saying? And she ain't really thinking that, but I think I know it, right? And I come to find out that I was just being selfish. And because of my deeper relationship with Jesus, I'm not that selfish person. Now, I can get selfish. Shell will tell you I can get selfish. But I'm not like I used to be. Praise the Lord. Y'all see it? Why? Because I'm growing, brother, to be more like Jesus because I'm in a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's not about the things I want. It's about the things I need in order for God to use me for his glory. On the other hand, if you're a child of God, you got an it? Need some prayers for it? See, brethren, we're so afraid of people. Brother Paul has been teaching on that on Wednesday nights on 1 Thessalonians, you know. That's the whole thing, brother. We're so afraid that people are going to think ill because I've got some issues. Guess what? Your issue is probably bigger than my issue, the reason you're thinking I got some issues. Right? We're all in it together, church. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't let the pandemic and all the craziness, election, all the crazy, get us distracted. Jesus sees it.
man, I can keep on going, Brenda, but I know I got to stop. If you're here this morning, come on, Paul. If you're here this morning and we can help you with your it, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Jesus.
He's my Lord.
Jesus.
Come to him. Yes, he is. Yes. He rules my life, church. That's what he wants to do. I'm mine no more. I'm mine no more. I'm mine no more. I'm mine no more. Yes. Yes. I have to remember I've been bought. I'm mine no more. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know you're most honored and welcome guest. Thank you so much for being here. I pray you take this message and you walk in it. You apply it. Just remember, Jesus wants us to go deeper.